Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fifth installment of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. As always, I'm Vexx, joined along with our co-host, Johnny Zero.
People's Hero here at your service.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. We got a hell of an episode today.
Yes, we do. There's so much going on. There's so much exciting information to convey to the podcast audience. First and foremost, if I'm not mistaken, there's a new list that the reporter, Mr. Johnny Zero, has compiled of signature moves and finishing moves.
And this is for all you wrestling purists out there, pro wrestling here purists. Not all of these are confirmed, but we have a list. I can't reveal my sources. Do you have that, Vex?
No, I don't actually. This is your list, sir.
Okay, you hand it to me. Thank you. Well, let's start
out. So who's the first person?
We have the Frontiers Man himself, Charles Ingalls.
It's Frontiers Man? I thought it was Frontiersman.
I think people say it the way they want. I like to think that people think it's either Frontiersman or the Frontiers Man.
Now, on the very off chance you're a new listener to the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast, I want to stress to you, the Frontiersman, as I like to call him, Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie, is hands down the most successful and most popular wrestler in all of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Well, in the ring. I did see that the milk commercial this morning.
So do you feel that your hero's getting a little too commercialized?
I try to be objective as I can.
And open-minded, sure.
Yeah, but I do worry about it, yes.
Do you really?
Yeah. He does not know. I mean, the guy was trained by Abraham Lincoln in the Belligan match against Thompson.
As we have confirmed previously, yes, sir.
But, now that Caroline and Laura are gone, it's just him and Neckbeard out on the farm.
Well, he's a true immortal, so he's outlived everyone he's ever known because he is the Frontiersman, Charles Ingalls.
That does not mean that he knows Hollywood or, you know, Vegas.
Do you feel that he might be being manipulated by his new press secretary or press agent or something of that nature?
I don't think so, and I can't make those kind of comments. But as long as he focuses on the ring and what he does in the ring, it should be okay.
Which he always has. What are his featured moves, sir?
Well, he has the Highway to Heaven.
Which we've seen in action.
Yes, we have, and that's usually when he whips into the rope, and he I've never seen someone so fluid go back into the ropes and dig their heels and off the apron and jump off into a spinning corkscrew punch or a forearm, whatever he can get, or a lariat, whatever he has. But that's usually just a setup because he can anytime he can hit you with the perfect storm.
And what is that, sir?
The perfect storm is basically a reverse facebuster jackhammer where he wraps you up like a suplex, spins you around, holds you up, similar to what Goldberg or Davey Boy Smith in his day, God rest his soul, did. But he, instead of going down on your back, you're going on your face, like a brain buster almost.
And I can recall you expressing to me that pretty much once that's applied, there's no coming back.
Well, it depends on which way he wants to take it. It depends on how much Ingalls is very methodical in the ring. So usually when you go down on your face, then you're already in position. He simply scoops up the leg, and it's almost turns into a reverse STF, step over, step over toe hold front face lock after the reverse facebuster jackhammer.
Now, going from arguably the most prominent face in our federation, we're now going to go to Mr. Brady, who, and let's be completely honest with our listening audience,
yes,
is, if nothing else, almost as popular as the Frontiersman, and some say more popular as a face because he's so popular and so widely expected. That's not the word I meant to say. Respected is the word I meant to say.
Oh, absolutely.
Mr. Brady is it. He is the cat's meow, for lack of a better terminology.
Absolutely.
So what are his featured moves?
Well, there's the Kiss of Death, why don't you explain?
Here's what I love about the Kiss of Death. Yeah. He literally pretty much puts you in the iron claw, and he'll kiss his hand as he puts it on to bless you, if you will, to make you feel special. Now, So that's the iron claw that he kisses. Sometimes he slips and he might actually touch lips with the person, but that's because he's sweating. He's an athlete, and things like that happen. You know, you get like in the ring. And
I have seen rainbow flags.
Well, he's gay rights supporting by all means. He has many children, you know, and some of them are a little funny. So he understands the plight. He's also a very good disciplinarian. But yes, that is the fantastic finisher. But there's another featured move. I got to be honest. I don't know much about it, but you had mentioned it.
There's one called the Closet Buster.
Explain, sir.
the Closet Buster is similar to, what would you say, like the Gourd Buster, the Arn Anderson style
Are
Gourd
Are you trying
Buster.
To talk about someone's genitalia? Is that what you're... Listen.
I didn't say that.
You're a suspect, sir. All know.
And you're out of line, sir. this is a straight up suplex hold where he comes down face first, but as he comes down, he hooks the leg. So, but he's only done that after seeing a perfect storm. So,
which is a devastating maneuver.
There's also the bunch crunch.
I don't know what that means, sir.
The Brady Bunch, you know, the Bunch Crunch, or the Dark Family Secret.
Now
these are setup things.
What is the Dark Family Secret? Can you explain that?
The Dark Family Secret is usually when as I'm told now, these are all unconfirmed.
At the end of the day, we're reporters for wrestling, so we're just trying to bring you the information.
Absolutely, and fans, we get this stuff straight from the locker room. So if it's
you do like hanging out with boys a lot in the locker room, I have seen that.
You know, but basically, the Dark Family Secret is the same thing. The Iron Claw he whips him into the ropes, and he's going. Sometimes Brady, after the course of a match, he'll forget which part of the body to put the claw on. As you know how to do a body slam, sometimes he'll apply both. And one to the head and one to the
region. But I heard that it's a unique gripping of a body slam.
Absolutely. And usually he, at this point, I mean, we're talking broadways here, folks.
All right, I have to break the fourth wall. Brady has a bad habit of, after knocking you unconscious with these moves, of slithering all over you like a snake. Yes. And though I'm supposed to be a huge BSC supporter, it is quite disgusting. Like, let's be honest. Like, ew. But he has the jewelry in his grill, and the teeth are filed, as Johnny Zero likes to point out all the time. I don't understand what that's about. And it's a brilliant thing. It's a beautiful thing to undertake in person.
Absolutely. I don't know how he gets away with it, really. I mean, it's and the filing of the teeth, are they jewels? Is he literally filing his teeth down?
All right, let's explain this. When we first became professional athletes, right, when these gentlemen left their acting duties and were going to become professional wrestlers,
absolutely,
Mr. Brady opted to file his teeth into fangs. And when you punch him across the face, if he smiles, you'll lacerate your knuckles and your wrist, and you'll bleed extensively. And frankly speaking, that's pretty deadly.
Ask Mike Seaver. Absolutely. I've seen it happen.
The face. Oh, the face. He's become a joke, if you will, in this federation.
Not so much a face anymore.
He ain't pretty no more, Rock.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yes, sir. You know, and there's also the reverse balls across the nose, which is where...
I don't think you have to explain it so much.
No.
I feel like it's pretty... That's
a joke. But, you know, he basically whips him in, it's a reverse Thez press, except for he's not pressing on you. You're getting the... rear end of that train.
Let's move down the list. The working man.
James Evans.
James Evans.
Absolutely. Well, there's the Chi-Town Street.
What is that exactly?
Well, it's basically when James gets mad and he says, "Listen here, Jack." And he gets you're going to Chi-Town Street, which is basically a slam where he whips you into the rope. It's a reverse power slam, a side slam, similar to, if you guys are familiar with the Big Boss Man. The only difference being is that he totally takes the opponent up and makes them go upside down, almost like a 180-degree angle, and then goes down with them into a choke slam procedure in midair. There's also the Ghetto Riser and the Chi-Town Blues, which the Chi-Town Blues is where he gets you in a reverse front face lock.
That sounds painful.
It's very painful.
because he's a powerful man.
Well, he's cutting off your carotid artery as well, and then he's slamming down on your lower back and holding you there, similar to like the end of a camel clutch, except for he's got your head like you know, in a reverse front face lock, and he's also got you chicken winged as well. It's very dangerous.
It's a powerful maneuver.
Absolutely, from a very powerful man.
Now, we're going to move on to someone who has been... All right, so I want to express this as well, since we're discussing the finishing moves. Yes, the Federation, if you will, has graduated beyond just being a television program that's going to be broadcast every Saturday. There are now house shows.
It's a phenomenon.
They're touring. And because of that, there's activity that's no longer just televised. We need the internet to assist us. We need Twitter to assist us. We need TMZ to assist us. But there's things happening. Now, one of these prominently featured people has become the thespian. And could you please explain?
Well, the thespian, Fred Gwynn. There's a lot. This is a very divisive subject, especially with horror film fans. And, you know, the fact that we're doing professional wrestling, which has always been treated as the redheaded stepchild, so to speak.
Of the sports world.
Of sports and entertainment world as well. But he likes to, he does not want anything to do with the Herman Munster gimmick.
Now, aren't the fans, there's a backlash to this, aren't there? Like, people are coming to see Herman Munster. They're paying their hard-earned money.
Absolutely, especially people up in Butler, Pennsylvania, the Monster Bash, the, you know, the different entertainment conventions and things. The Frankenplex is what he used to use. But now he's calling it the Actor's Studio.
Really?
Yeah.
So the same move.
Yep. It's the same. It's a series of moves, but he's calling all of it the Actor's Studio. He wants nothing to do. He's too good for it. Did you see his new promo pictures?
I have not.
Well, here, let me break some out. We'll have some of these out for you, fans. He is, as you can see, he's right there. He's in a black leotard, a one piece, with a red velvet smoking jacket.
With the
black lapels, as you see there in the print. And he's standing over a fireplace with a long pipe that looks similar to like a French telephone or something you see in a Sherlock Holmes novel.
What is he reading exactly?
I can't see it. Can you? Maybe you can see, Max.
It appears to me that it might be The Great Gatsby. Now, if it is The Great Gatsby, it reminds me of who we were talking about previously.
Absolutely. The
Great Gatsby was a novel that would be read live by that comedian who passed away, whose name I'm...
Oh, Andy... gosh.
Kaufman.
Kaufman. The Great Kaufman. Yeah, exactly.
So Kaufman would read The Great Gatsby to his audiences occasionally.
Brilliant.
And now I believe that your friend in some capacity, the thespian, is paying homage.
I did not put that together.
Well, this is what I'm here for, sir.
Wow.
Clarify it for you. Andy Kaufman.
The first intergender champion.
The only intergender champion in the history of the sport. You know what? You should bring that back, frankly.
Absolutely.
Down the road.
Do you count Joni Lara?
Who?
Joni Lara. She was Intercontinental Champion.
I don't know who that is.
China.
Is that her name? I have no idea. Well, she's dead. Johnny TV dad, so not much there for me.
Yeah, God rest her soul.
God rest her soul.
We're just giving you a point of reference. After that, we have, Fred has Swan Lake. I don't know why he's using Swan Lake. Now, what that is, I have no idea what he's doing, because Fred Gwynn's a big man.
He is gigantic, yes.
He has some fluidity, I would say, similar to the Dark Magician.
Yes, there's a similarity there, of course.
But there is definitely more upper body strength, I would say. And less
Agreed.
Less agility, but what he lacks in agility, you know, there's definitely a ballet move involved, and it's a taunt to his opponent. After he's chokeslammed him, he dances around, does
rather effeminate, I might add.
Absolutely, but I mean, who's going to argue with Fred Gwynn?
Well, here's my confusion, sir. Mr. Gwynn has been appearing as a three-man tag with Cop Lives Matter.
I think.
And when he does that, he's in full policeman regalia. So explain this to me. Is he a thespian? Is he a police officer? What's he doing? Is he double dipping? What's going on?
I would say so. And then the fans feel that way as well, because you can see the reaction. That's from Car 54, Where Are You?
Exactly, yes, sir.
So a lot of people don't know that Herman Munster was actually a cop on Car 54, where are you?
If someone takes the time to go look at the Facebook page, he appears prominently in his Car 54 regalia.
Absolutely, full regalia. And
TV Dad's Wrestling on Facebook.
Absolutely. That's where it's at. And he also has the Whale Diver, and he also has the Karloff Curse.
Explain the Karloff Curse, please.
The Karloff Curse is basically a reverse chin lock. Similar to a sleeper where he cuts off the carotid artery and simultaneously wraps the opponent's arm around in a similar to like an arm bar. And
so Mr. Zero.
Yes.
Being that most of these athletes who compete in our organization or federation were previously actors on television, where did they learn all of this deep-seated wrestling knowledge?
That's a very good question. I would have to equate it to a lot of things of the times. It's the times we're in. it's the times we're in, my friend.
They're just prepared. They understand wrestling altogether.
Absolutely. And the Whale Diver, by the way, is a senton bomb off the second turnbuckle.
So again, you got to explain that to me. That it's a bomb of some sort. Like what's happening here with this?
Well, it's a senton bomb. Yes. For a man of Fred Gwynn's stature, if you fans might be familiar with the Swanton bomb.
they just explain it to us like we're 4 years old and have no idea what.
Well, the Swanton bomb is Jeff Hardy's finishing move, where he goes off the top rope and you do a somersault at the end, and your back collides with the opponent's midsection.
Okay, and this is just a version of that.
Well, it's not quite as smooth when it comes to Fred Gwynn.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy, and he's not that nice. So he jumps off the top rope, and he pretty much does a flying headbutt, but in your, midsection, so to speak. Sometimes he lands in the midsection, sometimes he's a little below the belt, and manages to flip over after colliding. And then what I've always found funny is, how does he kip up? Fred Gwynn does a kip up after he does the James Whale, the Whale Diver. And this is about the controversial director, James Whale, who tried to destroy, or had a collision with the career of the great Bela Lugosi. Horror fans will know what I'm talking about.
And what I find amazing is that Mr. Gwynn is hearkening back to all of this information, referencing specifically thespians and actors on film.
And James Whale directed Frankenstein.
Dun, 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 dun.
So,
and we all know that he hates Frankenstein.
So why does he do that? I don't get it. And then you got Bull from Night Court, and
well, Bull is now a member of the real Frankensteins between him and Lurch. And if you see Bull, he's fully adorned.
Yep.
He has the green makeup. Yep. He has the bolts. And frankly speaking, they didn't have the best showing against Shipwrecked a few weeks ago. It wasn't Shipwrecked, was it? It was the other one. Hold on. For Folklore. I believe they faced off against Folklore in the last TV show. Yeah. And they didn't do well. They were eliminated from the tag team match. Yeah. But I have to say, speaking, they're not a bad team.
No.
And down the road, I think that there'll be some real competition.
Consummate professionals that will be developed over time. And really, who is going to beat Bunker and Sanford on their first time out?
Well, we're going to see, aren't we? Because they're going to compete further.
Hell hath no fury like angry old men.
We're going to move to Disco Diamond. Now, some of our listeners might not be familiar with the vernacular Disco Diamond, but who does that feature, Mr. Zero?
It's Lamont Sanford.
Lamont Sanford is back as Disco Diamond.
Yes.
And he has some great moves he's brought with him.
As you all know, that Lamont Sanford was adopted. His original name was Damon Wilson. And he had the disco hit, Disco Diamond, in Compton at the roller skating rinks in the late 1970s.
And he would wear the skates all the time. And it was like his thing, you know.
Absolutely. If you remember the guy that's doing the moonwalk with the roller skates in the Michael Jackson Bad video with the...
that was Disco Diamond.
Well, it's not that that was Diamond, but he was mimicking him.
It's Disco Diamond, Lamont Sanford. Now, here's what I want to stress, is he feels slightly abandoned because his father has joined Urban Folklore, a very successful tag team.
Absolutely.
And he started out in tag competition with Lamont. They were the Junkmen.
Absolutely.
The Junkmen have been retired, and now they are transferring all the energies into Urban Folklore.
Yep.
Grady has gone with Urban Folklore, so here you leave Lamont to establish himself, but he's doing all right. So what are the moves that he has?
Well, there's the Disco Drop. drop.
Which is what exactly?
Well, I'll get to that. That usually it starts with glitter from above.
So what's the glitter from above?
Glitter from above is usually a flying leg drop from the top rope, but it is done with such ease.
Finesse.
It would make it. Even the great Bobby Eaton would be
would be proud.
Absolutely. I mean, he just soars, and I don't mean just in the center of the ring here, folks. I'm saying he gets some air on this. He can have you all the way in the next corner, jump across, and there's a disco ball that comes down for his rings, and he has a handful of glitter that comes down with him on his opponent. And with the sweat, he rolls them up and then throws the glitter on top of them as a way of letting them know that they just got touched by the disco diamond. Now, this is an early version of Lamont. We don't know which direction his career is going
to
go.
Oh, I think we have an idea. But let the listeners have to worry about that down the road.
Where do you think he's going to go, Bex?
I have no comment at this time. I cannot speak on the matter. I would just like to tell you that he is a prominent athlete in the Federation today, and he's expressing himself. Absolutely. We are moving right along toward the Cleaver, who's become shockingly popular in a Trump-era America.
Ward the Cleaver is, I don't know if it has anything with Trump, but Ward the Cleaver, I can't say enough about this wrestler. He's old school, catch as catch can, Luthez, any way you want, but he's a very, very angry man.
I have read about something called the meat tenderizer on the message boards online. Can you explain that to me, please?
He throws them into the corner, and it's American strong style, the Japanese strong style. Japanese wrestling fans will be familiar with strong style. If you remember when Vader, that kind of thing, put him in the corner and just beats the opponent down completely. He's broken ribs.
And these are in the house shows because none of this is televised.
Absolutely. And it's not licensed because, nobody's taken TV Dads serious yet. But it's catching on so much. This guy is really, I never thought that. I didn't believe it till I saw the pictures of June.
Explain. June Cleaver? His wife? What happened?
Well, I wasn't there, but I mean, like, my God, man. Her cheekbones are shattered.
You know, sometimes a woman doesn't listen. And when you're in that situation, perhaps a cleaver's needed. You know, and you gotta be like, hey, get back in the kitchen. Shut your mouth. I mean, I don't understand it myself, but maybe I get it a little bit.
When the cameras go back on, everything is...
That's the scary part. Yeah, that's what makes him a psychopath. It's like he beats them into submission off camera. Ward's beating the beaver. And what's the brother's name?
Wally.
And they're like... And it's like, and when the camera comes on, you're going to be happy, God damn it. Yeah. And then it's like,
poor Wally.
Hi, how are you today, Beaver? Like, I'm fine.
Oh, gosh, gee, Beav.
Now, I don't know if you knew this, but... The Cleaver boys are going to be in tag competition later down the road in the Federation. They're starting to work on the undercards of the house shows.
Yes, bringing along war. But they're trying to get this last beating that June took. I'm not sure.
You know,
somebody needs to step in.
I have no comment on the situation. She can call Cop Lives Matter if she was so inclined, but clearly she's not. And, you know, what two consenting adults do in the presence of their own home behind closed doors, that's not my problem.
It's still not right.
I heard she's into BDSM. Like, it's not really, like, it's not what you think it is. Like, I remember there was a thing where she was on TV years ago, and she's like, Ward, you were really hard on the beaver last night. And they weren't talking about their son, you know? So I just want maybe that's how they play. And I am no one, if any, I can't call them out. I have some freaky deaky stuff in my background, you know.
Yeah, well, I've never seen, this is bad. I'm talking black and blue bruises. But well, you're right, though.
I have to hijack this whole, like, oh, poor June Cleaver fest. Yeah. We have breaking news.
What's that?
There's been a new athlete. He's really short, although I don't really comprehend what's going on. And he's making minor vignettes, and he's trying to, like, somehow break into the house shows. Someone is hijacking the house shows, if you will, and he's going under the moniker of Genghis Khan. Now, as a reporter, can you tell me anything about this person?
I can tell you a lot about him in the ring. Now,
well, to my knowledge, he's not sanctioned to compete. Now, does he have a previous wrestling background that I'm unaware of?
Apparently, that someone in the stock ownership, a private investor, must be somehow involved with Perot and Murdoch. I'm not sure.
Okay, so please explain.
Well, he wrestles under a helmet that looks vaguely like Lando Calrissian's helmet.
Lando Calrissian. He didn't wear a helmet. He was in The Empire Strikes Back.
No, I'm talking about in Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
When they're going to the sand pit with Boba Fett.
I remember that helmet, and he pulled his face down. But here's the thing. You could kind of see it was Lando. So if I'm not mistaken, we have no idea who this Genghis Khan is.
This guy does. His is a little bit there. I said it was vaguely reminiscent.
You did.
It's more covered up than that. He probably obviously has some kind of paint or something underneath. All I see is there is a only thing I've noticed is one picture I saw, there's a mustache on either side of his lips that's kind of hanging out. Like, in other words, there's no mustache over top of the lips, just on the side. And he does a spinning corkscrew moonsault, which means a 720 in the air, spinning and going up and down and landing on the opponent.
But again, I want to stress to everyone who's listening, he is not yet a sanctioned wrestler in the TDWF. It's just that he's showing up at undercards and backyard wrestling and any way you can break into this business.
He must have a connection or he would not be able to.
What I find confusing is that, to my knowledge, Genghis Khan, the character, had never had a television series where he was a father, per se. So perhaps we'll have to dig deeper into this story down the road.
Exactly. Because he must be someone we know in disguise. Because otherwise it wouldn't be legal. They wouldn't let him.
But again, he's not really sanctioned. I don't really understand it. It was breaking news. I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention.
Thank you.
Please keep in mind the evil Genghis Khan in the future, especially with those finishing moves. Now, Johnny Zero.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what time it is in the podcast? We are going to return to the Tournament of Champions together, sir.
Absolutely.
And what we're going to do is that we are going to express to everyone. So if you will, I want you to envision, and I need your help with this, Johnny Zero. It is the opening of the Saturday morning TV show, and there's that theme music we agreed to use from the Super Friends. So how does that go, sir?
Dun, 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 dun.
The Tournament of Champions, Champions, Champions. Now, if you remember correctly, the first episode had showed us that we were dealing with the television championship specifically. Again, the Tournament of Champions, and we have been dealing with specifically the TV title. Now, this one, we're going to open it up for the World Heavyweight Championship, and Johnny Zero has prepared some opening music, if you will.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom.
Welcome to the Tournament of Champions.
Absolutely.
So we got to take that music into consideration. Now, something else is featuring, or we were discussing off the mic previous to the show starting, is that we have Bob Uecker doing color commentary. But Mr. Ted Knight, who was also on the show Too Close for Comfort,
yes,
has become the official ring announcer.
Absolutely.
And will join Bob Uecker for color commentary after he announces the
ring. I think that's one of the best decisions we've made, that they've made.
Well, again, we're dealing with Director of Operations, which is Henry Winkler, and the Commissioner himself, Mr. Cunningham.
I got to give him credit.
Now, Ted Knight, again, he was on Too Close for Comfort as a father, but he's also that creepy character from, what's the movie with Bill Murray?
Bill Murray and...
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. And he also did the voice. He was the original voice of Batman in the 60s TV show.
That's correct.
Before the Super Friends one. And he did the Joker as well.
He did. He went all the way up through like the 70s with that.
Yeah. And he was an extremely talented voice actor. You wouldn't even believe the things he's done.
And of course, Mary Tyler Moore and things of that nature. But the point is, he qualifies for us because he was a TV dad. Now, he's an old man, so he wouldn't compete in wrestling in any capacity. But he is our in-ring announcer.
Absolutely. And like Fred Sanford, he has a... he's known, you know, he has that temper and that heart condition that, you know, he's known as a madman. But I think the two of them, you know, watch Major League with Bob Uecker. I think that'd be great.
Microphone gold.
Absolutely.
This week's episode features Charles Ingalls versus Stashberg 2. Bundy. Al Bundy in singles competition versus the Heckler.
Versus Bundy solo.
Sick Van Dyke. I agree completely. When Bundy comes to the ring, he is now dressed completely in the regalia that he's trying to be Han Solo from the 1977 film.
And it's the original stuff that he shied out for the show, and it did happen, folks.
And it's all not fitting because he's fatter now, and it doesn't really...
And that's... That makes it kind of awesome, though, doesn't it?
The fantastic and powerful Mr. Mike Brady versus Red Foreman, who has been pretty much having a rough run of things lately.
Yes, yeah, and it hasn't been because of his in-ring ability. He's just not, the guy's just not getting a break.
It's bad luck. It's all bad luck, sir.
He's a good wrestler, though.
Now,
I don't think he's as good as Mike Brady, but.
Well, rounding out the heavyweight championship elimination division, we're going to have. Is it Mr. Disco Lamont? What's the name you're using?
Disco Diamond.
Disco Diamond Lamont Sanford versus the bloodthirsty millionaire Gomez Adams.
Well, that's going to be a hell of a match.
Now, another elimination match for the Tag Team Championship is going to feature our first round winner, Urban Folklore, going up against the Brady Boys.
I don't
see much of a match.
Frankly. I don't see much of a match myself either, and I hate to say that because I as much as I don't like the father, he is a great in-ring performer.
To be a good disciplinarian is to put your boys into a situation where they have to get themselves out of it. He's teaching them how to be men, and I respect that greatly.
Against Urban Folklore?
Hey, I didn't do the brackets. This is all done by Cunningham and our director of operations, Henry Winkler.
You're gonna put teenagers in there with an angry Sanford and Bunker. In their primes? Is that what you're going to...
They really have become quite the...
That laugh is just
the prolific,
chilling.
The prolific heroes. All right, so let's start at the very beginning. How are we going to do this? We are going to have episode 5.
Sir?
Oh, we're still doing... Okay, we're still doing eliminations also for the TV championship. I'm not sure if I mentioned that, and I apologize for that.
Yes, and we have somebody rising up the ranks.
Well, this round features the Snake George Jefferson.
Yep.
Versus Ward the Cleaver. Now we're gonna discuss this match. There's no flipping of the coins. We know who wins. We've discussed this previously, and it's a shock to the world, I might add.
Yeah.
So George Jefferson's not a big man, okay? He's the Snake George Jefferson, and he's facing off against Ward the Cleaver.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have the moving on up music. Moving on up, right? Yeah. Jefferson comes out, and he's not a face. He's definitely a heel, but the Cleaver is such a bigger heel that you almost feel bad for Jefferson.
He's got the World War II work ethic and. Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say that Jefferson's not a good wrestler, folks. It's just that against the Cleaver, we just don't see.
So if we're going blow by blow, what exactly happens in this match? How does this go down?
I see Jefferson getting off to some maybe a drop kick here and there. Maybe he's always trying, maybe holding the ropes here and there. He's always looking for a way to get ahead.
But this Cleaver will not be stopped.
No.
And let's keep in mind that inside of his hat that is left on the ring apron, he can always pull out that Cleaver at any time.
Yep.
And he's pretty quick. He's pretty sneaky. Pass the referee and
absolutely
deliver the double axe handle of the Cleaver. There you go.
Absolutely. I think Jefferson will be bringing a knife to a gunfight.
So that means Mr. Jefferson, the Snake, falls, and Ward Cleaver advances in our TV championship.
I think that meat is pretty tender. I think that meat got tenderized.
Second match of the evening is we're going to have Urban Folklore facing the Brady Boys. And let's be honest, this does not last long.
No.
Let's be honest.
I just wonder if how they do the finish. I mean, if Fred's going to go for the trash can jam... Or the street beater.
Well, this match begins with bam 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 because that's the theme music they kept.
And that's what the actual name of the song is his Fred's finisher, the street beater. It's true.
I didn't know. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's actually called the street beater.
So we're going to have it go in. The Bradys are going to face off. I guess Fred Sanford will begin the match against, we'll say, Peter Brady, who later on becomes Peter the Great, but right now he's just getting smacked around because he's a child. He's like 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, that's why I think Fred just took that move where they take the behind your head, like Pipers do, where you slap your hands.
Yeah, the ears. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Fred does that with trash cans.
I love it.
And then I love it. He gives him the street beater, and then I think by the time he does that, because you got to give Archie time to get up to the top rope.
Greg tries to come in and break things up, and Archie comes off the top rope and just knocks Greg unconscious, who then rolls under the ring.
Yep.
He's completely out, and they just pin Peter.
Yep.
They rip him apart. And, of course, you see Mr. Brady on the giant TV, the Megatron, what is it called? The Teletron? Yeah. I'm not sure what
the TV D-tron.
Thank you, sir. Above, and he's just like grimacing, like, you have embarrassed me yet again.
Exactly.
So they must be disciplined, but that's their problem. So advancing forward in the tag team championship is Urban Folklore.
And folks, keep in mind that this is Archie Bunker in his prime with an Uncle Sam, a tattered Uncle Sam look and hat and everything. And it is also Fred Sanford, Red Fox, in his prime with a darker take on the Santa Claus outfit.
So it's Ghetto Santa and Urban Slam.
Or Uncle Slam.
Uncle Slam, I'm sorry, and Ghetto Santa. And they are together,
yeah.
Urban Folklore.
Yes.
And it's they're very popular. Yes. Very, very popular. Yes. We cannot lie.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a commercial break. When they return, we're going to advance along further.
Yes, sir.
The TV Dads Wrestling Federation has returned from the commercial break.
Welcome back, folks.
Welcome back, folks, to the action. So, moving right along, advancing to the heavyweight championship elimination, we have the first match featuring Disco Diamond, Lamont Sanford, versus the Bloodthirsty Millionaire Gomez. How do we see this shaking out?
Vicious. It's a vicious match. I got to be honest here. Gomez presents a really interesting challenge for Lamont.
Ever since Gomez has become a competitor in this federation, he's been deadly.
Yeah. This will be definitely a test. Now, as far as reach and aerial maneuvers, not that Gomez is a slouch, but he's not in his prime like he was in his luchador days. A lot of people don't know this. Gomez was once a luchador down in Mexico. He wrestled with El Santo and the Blue Demon. Great man. But Lamont just has reach, and he does a beautiful leg drop off the top. If Gomez can get him down in the ring, I think he turned Lamont into a pretzel.
So glitter from above, or is it the Adams Family Shuffle? Who's going to win this match?
I don't know. This is one we're just
going to flip the coin. Remember, the head is the face, which is Lamont. The tail is Gomez Adams, and we are flipping and go. What is it? I can't see it. Just tell me what it is.
Heads.
Oh, Lamont advances in the heavyweight championship division.
Glitter from above.
Good
too.
For
and it
him.
Landed right on the thing, too.
Look at that. Right in the middle. Okay.
Lamont. Wow.
Now, I have an interesting break for you. The show is continuing along. There's a vignette. It's off camera. It's shown backstage. If we all remember correctly, the heckler had brought up a drug test on the heckler's house.
That's terrible.
So they're backstage, and here's the heckler, and he's with Mr. Cunningham, and the director of operations is, you know, they're back there. Everybody's there. It is Henry Winkler and
Tim Allen.
Cop Lives Matter are on the site to be the security, and Mr. Allen, who is there with Mr. Ingalls, I might add.
Yep.
Charles Ingalls is there.
There's a character witness.
And when they read off the toxicology drug test, the information that has been brought off, there's several substances that Tim Allen has been shown to have in his system. And, you know, Mr. Cunningham doesn't stand for this. He's very, very upset. He has Tim Allen removed forcibly immediately by Cop Lives Matter, and there's 90 days that he is no longer able to compete in the Federation.
He's not even allowed to be in the heavyweight championship.
Nothing.
Commission.
He's in nothing.
And Ingalls has done everything he can. It's under review by the committee. It's terrible.
Well, at the end of the day, Cunningham has complete control per Ross Perot, and he said that's it. There's no anything. There's no.
Yeah, but why would Ingalls put the farm and his name on the line to defend this man that he helped rehabilitate himself?
Well, Ingalls is claiming that it's been tampered with, that perhaps the heckler did something that he's not supposed to do, that maybe he took this and this isn't really accurate, and he's calling for, an outsourcer. But Mr. Cunningham's not standing for it. He's like, listen, the guy failed. He's out for 90 days. I don't care. He's out immediately, and that's the end of it.
That's just terrible.
Now, perhaps it's under review later. I don't know. Mr. Perot could supersede if he was so inclined, but that's a different world.
And that's the Mr. Cunningham's new wellness program, so I guess it makes sense, but Tim Allen that I saw was just setting up rings. I saw the heckler throwing crack pipes at him from ringside in his colored suit with the hat. What the heck is that all about? I mean, it's unbelievable.
He was expressing himself, sir.
Well, the thing about this is, if it was tampered with, like Ingalls is saying, like Allen is saying, what does this do to Allen and his recovery?
I sincerely can't speak on it. I'm not a drug addict, so I don't really understand. But, hey, it is what it is.
Right.
And we're going to work from there. He's out for 90 days, and that's the summation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We have to move right along. The broadcast is going, Mr. Zero, and
this
is the way it works.
Yeah.
Now, for further information, thoughts and prayers.
Yes.
Moving right along, we're going to have the next part of the television champions. There's an elimination match between Bonaducci and the Macho Man Bonaducci and the Thespian Quinn. And these are two heels facing. interesting.
This is a good match.
So do we flip a coin or do we discuss
I'm going to let you call this one.
Let's flip. We're going to have Bonaducci being heads and we'll have Gwyn being tails. Let's see what happens.
Much Aducci.
Flip. And the answer is?
It is, unfortunately, a clean win by Fred Gwyn.
Mr. Bonaducci has been eliminated.
I can't believe it.
Well, I cannot believe it either. Frankly speaking, all the money in Vegas said that Mr. Bonaducci was going to be the first world's TV champion.
It is a extreme size difference. I mean, in Bonaducci's defense, I mean, Gwyn doesn't exactly play fair here, and you're talking about someone that's, 6'9"? As opposed to, I mean, how tall is Don Bonaducci?
Oh my God, like 5'6 or 5'5 or something.
Well, he's tougher than nails. I'm just saying.
He has lost today. It's a sad day. And for the first time ever, the Bonaducci Macho Man, we feel a little bad for him because no one's liking the thespian. And that's just the way it is, man. It moves forward.
Who the hell would? He's dissing Frankenstein.
So here's what happens. Bonaducci loses the match. It's very upsetting. Now,
that sucks.
I don't know if anyone had noticed this. But
can we get 2 out of 3?
Howard, no, sir, I'm sorry, he lost. I'm sorry, it's a sport. It isn't make-believe, this is real, and unfortunately he has lost. But listen, something interesting's happening backstage that I want to share with you.
Go ahead.
Howard Cunningham has his daughter along with him for this. He had to come here specifically for the meeting to deal with the heckler situation and Tim Taylor. So
yes.
What happened is Joni starts consoling the Macho Man Bonaducci backstage.
Yes.
And it's kind of lovely, actually. You're like, oh, that's a little nice. We'll see a little vignette of that in the locker room area. And good for him. You know, maybe Bonaducci needs to find some love with Joni Cunningham.
That's really cute, actually. She looked really cute in her little mini skirt, and she's got a little 50s outfit on. And it gives it a certain Americana appeal to him. I mean, it's David versus Goliath. They'll have to...
Well, we're going to revisit that. This is an elimination for the TV title.
I'm really starting to hate Gwyn. Like, what a dick.
I got nothing to say.
I'm too good to wear bolts on my neck.
So what's his voice? What's the voice?
I'm trying to
do the thespian.
Oh, well, I'm the thespian. Fred Gwyn, and... you know, I tried to play Herman Munster, and I did a 90s remake that I made, an angry Frankenstein. And if you want to take my title, just come on down to the actor studio.
So here it is. What's going to happen is Ward the Cleaver is going to face Fred Gwyn next week live.
Yes.
On the television broadcast at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, and we're going to have our first television champion.
Cool.
That's amazing.
That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be awesome. So that's next week.
Yeah.
And remember, awesome. We also have Urban Folklore advancing. Urban Folklore is going to advance in the tag team competition.
Yep.
There's another elimination next week.
Yes.
And then the week after that is the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And the pay-per-view, you're going to have the new heavyweight championship as your main event will be crowned.
Yes.
And the undercard is going to feature the world tag team champions will be, and the number one seed, as always, is the Royals. So whoever
gets to
face the Royals will be the new heavyweight champion.
Where do you know what arena it's in? Because I'm not trying to make any. I know Cosby's legal matters, I'm not one to judge.
Well, I heard it's Texas Stadium.
And there's a lot of ways into Texas Stadium.
Just saying.
There's a lot of water bottles and a lot of things to put in there.
But we're gonna get there. We're gonna have our first world heavyweight champion. It's very exciting. I can't even tell you. And that's what we're dealing with right now. Now back to the elimination, if you don't mind, sir.
Absolutely.
Here's a wrinkle for you. I don't know if you're ready to anticipate this, but this is happening.
Go for it, man.
Mike Brady is supposed to face Red Foreman. Red Foreman is still in traction because he was set ablaze. But the last time he faced Mike Brady, if you remember that correctly.
Absolutely. There was some fireworks. That's right.
Do you know who's going to appear on his behalf?
Enlighten us.
The newly motivated The Rock, Mr. Arnold.
Wow.
Now, people have not given The Rock the respect he deserves.
Okay.
Remember, technically, in his first match, he did win against Brady by disqualification.
That is true.
Because Brady sliced his face
apart. Not too many men can say that.
This time, as a stipulation, Brady has to wear rubber cork pieces over his fangs. because I'm sorry, it's just the way it's happening. So they're having, it's a quirk, I guess it's quirk circles. So
yes.
The fangs will not come into play.
Yes.
It'll be a legitimate wrestling match between Mr. Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, The Rock.
Fans, it's just so you understand what Vex is saying here is that that's like when they shave your teeth down for what they call crowns.
Yes.
In Hollywood, a lot of actors do that. Except for he didn't get the crowns. He just did it for
just shaved it into
to a razor sharp point. So we're putting corks, little pieces like.
So Cunningham's on hand. He's very rarely here. He's on hand tonight, and he's making sure that Mr. Brady wears the cork false teeth so he is unable to use them as a weapon in the ring. And, you know, then the music starts. What would you do if I sang that tune? And the crowd is really on The Rock's side. Yeah, exactly. It's a big deal. He comes to the ring. He's like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be the heavyweight champion. You're going to see. Yeah. And Brady prepared to face Red Foreman all this time.
Yes.
Like, it was a thing. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to face Red, you know?
Scientifically, it makes sense. That you're exactly.
So Brady comes in the ring.
Yeah.
Of course, he's playing his theme music. He has his security staff with him. The Bloody Stash crew is with him as well. Stashberg isn't there because he's going to face Ingles later in the broadcast.
There is there is now an official.
Well, yeah, it's a clothing company. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're there wearing their clothing. Yes, exactly. So
you, sir, out of line.
you're suspect. So they come to the ring and it's happening. And what do you think happens?
Oh, boy. I gotta say, I'm still gonna take Brady.
Here's what's gonna happen. The match is going to begin, and Brady is his, like, slithering, disgusting self, and he's in the ring. And this is an elimination, I want to stress. So it's very important that you have to win on this tier level to get to the main event to secure that heavyweight championship. And no, you have a man possessed. The Rock has trained. He's said his prayers. He's eaten his vitamins. And he's manhandling the much thinner and smaller Brady.
I agree. If it's a mat wrestling, like, power match and he gets a hold of him, yes. But Brady can be aerial, too.
Well, here's what happens. Brady attempts to use the fangs, forgetting that he has the false teeth on, and nothing happens.
Right.
So a nice belly-to-belly suplex happens. Brady gets knocked out of the wind out of him. He can't gain his composure. And The Rock's going to win. It's happening. It's like, this is it. And Peter Brady runs in with a chair and hits The Rock on the back of the head. They roll him over and they pin him. But it doesn't work because this is a foreign object. People have intercepted. And by disqualification, advancing to the next level in the heavyweight championship is The Rock, Mr. Arnold. You're dumbfounded, aren't you?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't. I just don't see. Who was the referee there? Bob Newhart?
I'm not really sure. But the point is, Mr. Brady's out, sir. And The Rock advances forward. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting. So there we are, in the middle of the ring. Yeah. The Rock Arnold has defeated Mr. Brady.
Unbelievable.
Brady was definitely going to be in the final elimination. Everybody thought it. He's gone. He's out. The music starts, whoa, what'd you do? And the crowd's going crazy, and they love him. And then the music cuts. And you just hear, like, creepy organ music.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Da-da-da.
Like Phantom
Da-da-da-da.
Of the Opera creepy.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a vignette on the big screen where someone is just in a mask and he's all burnt up and he's playing a pipe organ and it's, like, descending from above the ring.
Yeah.
But we don't know who it is.
Way up there. We're in the rafters.
Yeah, you can't even tell who it is. But whoever he is, he's creepy and he's there and he seems very annoyed that he was not part of that match to advance further into the heavyweight championship.
And the organ's on fire. This is not like a cliche thing. Obviously, this guy doesn't care.
So whoever it is the Phantom of the Arena.
Yes.
And then we cut to a commercial.
Yes.
The TV Dads Wrestling Podcast returns from its commercial break, and it features the Love and Marriage theme song because Al, the Polkai Killer Bundy, comes to the ring. And he's announced by Ted Knight.
Yeah.
When Bundy gets in the ring, he forces the microphone away from Mr. Ted Knight. And he's like, no, no, I am Bundy Solo. Bundy Solo. And he
Bundy Solo.
And he's wearing, like, the non-fitted original 1977 garb from the film Star Wars with Han Solo.
That he was in line to play. It was beat out the last second.
Bundy Solo.
Bundy Solo.
Needless to say, everyone is taken aback. This is Al Bundy. He's the Polkai Killer. This is the guy that was in the tag team with his son and came to the ring, and they had on those crazy football spikes, or the pads with the spikes in them, and they were like huge, and now he's demanding to be referred to as Bundy Solo. What are your thoughts on this, Johnny?
Oh, Bundy. Well, Ed O'Neill, I mean, he was originally, as many fans out there don't know, Ed O'Neill was originally supposed to be Han Solo.
Which we covered. I mean, they hear it.
You can't say it enough. Apparently, he kept the actual original outfit.
The costume.
Yeah. It's not really fitting him very well, and he's, you know, hey, pig! You know, he's here.
So he is now Bundy Solo.
Bundy
and then
Solo.
You just hear over the loudspeaker. And it is now time for the heckler to come to the ring.
Yes.
And the heckler, who is loosely associated with the Bloody Stash Clothing Organization. That's what BSC stands for, Bloody Stash Clothing Organization.
It's a very sick competitor.
So he comes out and he has the security with him. And he gets in the ring. And Johnny, I want you to walk us through what happens in this match.
This one, we don't really know a whole lot about the hecklers. We know a whole lot about his, depending on the outcome.
Well, the ring prowess.
Yeah, his ring prowess. We don't really know a whole lot about.
Because in the first fight he was in with Tim Taylor,
yeah,
he literally just laid there like a rag doll and got beat to a pulp. So does Bundy make quick work of him, or is this a match?
I think this is a match. I think the heckler plays possum. I think his mind. I think he likes to give out punishment as much as he likes to take it. I this guy is sick. Just my opinion. The way I see it, I mean, a true sociopath, in my opinion.
All right, we're gonna let's flip the coin. Actually, where's the coin at? We're gonna see who our winner is.
Yeah.
So, in relation to this match, we have the newly christened Bundy Solo, and he's facing off against the heckler. So, just flip the coin, John. Remember that Bundy will be heads, and the heckler will be tails. And who wins the match?
Once again,
can you just say who wins the match?
Once again, Ed O'Neill comes up slowly last. The heckler.
Does he really? The
destroys
heckler wins.
Him.
Aww.
The heckler unleashes his some kind of. Is he learning cap? Is that capoeira? Is that what that is?
I can't speak on it, sir. I'm not aware.
It's a dancing Brazilian handstand
ninjutsu.
Kicking type of move. It's dancing. I have no idea. I've only seen that in maybe some other matches.
So, in further elimination, who's left standing in the heavyweight division? It is Disco Diamond Lamont.
Yep.
It is The Rock. It is The Heckler. And now we're going to see the last match of the evening, which is going to be The Frontiersman, Charles Ingles, faces The Phenomenal, The God's Gift to Wrestling, Stashberg.
Let's do it. I think
this is a no-brainer. Just so everyone knows, Ingles is hands down going to fucking win. You know why he's going to win, Johnny Zero? Because Stashberg is the guy who took all the steroids and all the PEDs, and this is not a real match.
That's a hell of an entrance, man, with that entrance music and
unbeknownst to everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have the commissioner here tonight. Okay, so Mr. Cunningham's here.
Howard.
So what happens is that we have your boy Ingles gets into the ring. Stashberg comes down to the ring, and you hear ba-boom, and a cage comes up from the floor and goes all around the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why is this happening? Because the Bloody Stash Clothing Company has been known to at some times interfere in a match. And because Cunningham's on hand, he wants a clean winner.
Yes.
And Ingles just destroys him.
The thing about Stashberg's entrance, I didn't get is why does he need like cop entrance? Why does he have? Because even the security guards were looking at him like, what you don't really like.
Well, what do you mean he doesn't need a cop? He's a very famous man. Stashberg's famous. Why do you question this gentleman needing to be escorted? I had told you previously that the Beatles were like an eighth famous of the level of Mr. Brady. Well, Stashberg is like the top person.
I get it, but it's Rob Reiner in
Gold. It's Stashberg.
It's Rob.
He has changed his name, sir. The artist formerly known as Rob Reiner
is
now Stashberg. And
he's
a phenomenally built athlete in wrestling.
I agree. He's done some great work. But why is he coming out of the ring with 12 cops security, and why is he still talking in an English accent?
And frankly speaking, these are the same questions that Cunningham had, which is why he brought the surprise cage. And it's not so much a cage match.
Saying tally-ho and all that. Tally-ho! what is that all about?
Stashberg is... He's the prominent athlete. He sincerely believes he's going to win this match and ascend to be the first World Heavyweight Champion. And remember, this is Ingle Stashberg too. Like, this isn't like the first time they faced each other.
I particularly like the glitter from the fireworks, and when he breathes in the smoke and he's going out his nose, and he's saying something about tally ho in an English accent. It was a pretty impressive Stashberg.
You must admit, entrance. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
but he still falls to the honorable frontiersman.
Yeah, well,
and that's it. That's how this is going to end. This
well, what, how, thing. How does he? How does he do it? Just a perfect storm, or
well,
or
Johnny Zero, tell the audience how does the match summate?
I think a simple Highway to Heaven into a perfect storm kind of does it. It makes him tap. I think that's it.
What I find amazing about the competition is that Brady is feverishly trying to break into the cage, but there's no door. It's just a perfect cage that came out of the floor per Cunningham. So you can't break in. He's trying to climb it at one point.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, he just couldn't do it. He couldn't get up there. It was just greased. It was a grease cage. And he couldn't get to the top and come over and help his hero.
When are we going to see the BSC? This team versus, Ingles is going to have to get an army around him, I would think. Wouldn't you think?
I can't speak on that. I don't know what's in Ingle's mind. I don't understand people from the 1800s. I don't understand why he would take a drug addict onto his farm and exploit him for labor.
Exploit him for labor? What are you talking?
I can't speak on the Ingle
You,
situation.
Sir, are out of line.
And you, sir, are highly suspect.
He helped the man out. Tim Allen is, and that's still up to be decided. Apparently, you know what happened there.
And we can work, we can work in his catchphrase. So the match ends.
Yep.
The microphone comes down. Mm-hmm. Stashberg's unconscious in the center of the ring. Mm-hmm. And as Brady and Cop Lives Matter and the security forces are all trying to climb this grease cage to get their hands on Ingles, he gets the microphone. And what does he say, Johnny Zero?
You, sir, are out of line.
And the entire crowd erupts. Like, they adore him. And then the special security comes in and removes Brady and his private security club from the arena. Again, Mr. Cunningham is there, and everything is much bigger and much more beefed up than it would have been previous.
This situation is going to have to reach a head. It's going to have to be addressed sooner or later.
So next week, ladies and gentlemen, on the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast, remember that for the television championship, we are going to decide it once and for all in the program against Ward the Cleaver and the thespian Fred Gwynn.
I can't believe Macho Duce.
Is it El Duce?
I just say Macho Duce.
Macho Duce.
Yeah. He is different.
He's out of it. He's unfortunately not in the running.
He's such a natural born world television champion. I just can't believe the thespian, after dissing his Real Frankenstein fan club. I have no idea. Fans, that's how it works sometimes. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're looking forward to crowning our first world television champion.
Next week, for the world's heavyweight champion, again, we're doing eliminations. Yes. It's Ingles versus the Heckler, which is going to be a greasy, grimy match.
I think that could be a better match than... After what I saw of the Heckler tonight, as opposed to what I saw the first night, this could be better than we think.
We're gonna see next week.
I'm wondering what the Heckler is gonna do in the house shows between now and then.
Well, that's up to him,
because they are in the same towns.
I mean, now The Rock, who took over for Red Foreman in the elimination matches, is gonna face Disco Diamond Lamont.
Yes, or Disco Demand.
I believe it's Diamond, sir. I believe it's Disco Diamond. And we have Urban Folklore, who's going to face another elimination, hopefully on their way to face on the pay-per-view live the Royals for the heavyweight tag team championship.
That is going to OJ and Bill Cosby.
Dr. Cosby, if you will.
Yeah, Dr. Cosby and OJ Simpson versus Archie Bunker and Fred Sanford.
That's just in and of itself. That could be the entire hour of television.
That is a main event anywhere in this country.
Anywhere in the world.
Sir. Anywhere in the world. Yes, sir. We stand corrected. Anywhere in the world. tell me where you wouldn't. Wait,
I don't know. What would somebody pay for that? I would pay to see that.
Well, it's free, thankfully, as long as you turn to the Fox Broadcasting Network on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. next week. And there we go. Now, listen, we're going to wrap up the podcast. My name is VexX. This is Johnny Zero.
Johnny Zero signing off.
But I want to stress a few things before we sign off. I apologize, sir. We are on the Loud and Loaded network on podcasts. So what happens is whatever app that you use to listen to your podcast, we need you to look up Loud and Loaded as an application. They're supporting us. And then you can hear the TV Wrestling Dads podcast. Now, if you're listening to this, you already know this, but we still have to put it out there. This is the people that put us on the air. We are very grateful.
Yes. Yes. Guys, just tell your friends about it. It's something that's growing, and that way they know how to look it up.
And we'd ask you to please patronize the Facebook page. There's a lot of funny memes on there for you. You can check them out.
Yes.
And that's the end of the episode. So as always, thank you for listening.
Thank you again.
Johnny Zero, knock on the table. Say you're rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Thank you, guys.